got the job on the technicality of a legend who recommended you. You are nothing, you are a fool, and you are a waste of time. Good night.
I've kept really quiet, but I'll tell you something. He went down in my estimation when he said that.
I don't believe personal insults help it.
Now, Jack Charlton is quite right to be indignant about that, and the gentleman in the yellow hat really exists nowhere in the firmament of international football.
The 10-man board of the FAI, the clowns, are now going to put the names in a hat. They're going to pick people who they've read about in newspapers.
Give it a blam and flash it into the net. What a goal that was.
And of course, Celtic.
I agree with you.
Ronnie just wants to say the word Schweinsteiger.
Bastian Schweinsteiger.
Hello and welcome to a late emergency version of the Balls.ie football show. We're here to discuss Ireland's, I don't know, what would you call it, maybe slightly... Alright, well, there's Sean Meehan. A slightly disappointing performance for Ireland against Switzerland. I'm joined by Sean Meehan and Morris Brosnan. We're here late in the Balls.ie office after witnessing the events of the previous couple of hours unfold. Lads, how are we feeling after that one?
Better than I did after the last game, to be honest. It's kind of, it's like the, you know, the old car salesman trick of anchoring. Like, so you say if a car is worth 10, you set your first price at 20, and then when they agree to 15, you've made a 5,000 bonus. That's kind of what this feels like for me. Like, the first performance was awful, so the second performance, even though it was pretty bad as well, you feel much better after it because of what your frame of reference is.
Like, I like to continue the car salesman analogy. I feel like Gil Gunderson, perpetually confident and hopeful, but for no real reason. So immediately after the Georgia match, I was like, ah, listen, it's a shootout now, boys. 1-2, that's all we need. So after this, I'm like, it's a cup final, lads. All we need is to win this one against Denmark. And I guarantee after the Denmark match, I'd be like, playoffs, boys, we're coming through. I just can't help it.
It's amazing how often the Irish football team are relevant to Simpson memes. It's also very enjoyable, but it is amazing that it just seems to fit up so perfectly so often.
Yeah.
So I suppose we better talk about the game. Like, we were sitting here in the office when the team news filtered through, obviously, and it was all much as expected. Aaron Connolly started, which we were delighted with. There was Alan Brown was a bit of a surprise, but apart from that, the team was kind of as expected. But then the news came through that we were going to be playing a 3-5-2, and we're trying to put the pieces together with that, and then it emerged that it was going to be James McLean playing left wing back, Enda Stevens is playing centre half, no Matt Doherty in the team, even though we were supposedly playing the system that suits him best. And then it turned out it didn't matter because we abandoned it all 20 minutes in anyway. So what did you make of the team search?
Why would you set up a team in a formation foreign to them in a must-win match, which is what it was? I don't understand. And I know McCarthy would talk about how, like, a draw would be a good result. It's not a good result. A good result is getting through to the tournament. Everything else is a bad result. That's, like, I don't understand this. There's no... When everything is as cut and dry as win, you're in. Draw or loss, it's no good to you. Why would you then decide? I don't mind an experimentation. And I think you've been crying out, Gary, for 3-5-2.
Consistently.
For God knows how long. But the difficulty in that is you're shoehorning James McLean in there. Like, I know you're going to, and he's not going to abandon McLean after one in many bad performances, but particularly the one against Georgia, which was horrific. So then you end up just sort of filling in spaces with, like, Stevens, a centre-half. I know he might have played there a few times for Sheffield United, but he's not a centre-half. Yeah. He's a wing-back. You can see he's a Premier League quality wing-back. And you're playing him at centre-half.
Yeah, because, like...
Doesn't make sense.
Like I said, since before the campaign started, I was like, 3-5-2 is just the obvious way to go for Ireland. If you look at the players we have, it's so obvious that that's the system we need to play. But then to see it in action and to not have the players that should have been playing there in it, it made it all the more frustrating. I would have preferred if you just stick with it. Morris, what do you make of it?
Like, I kind of disagree with Sean in the sense that I think, like, the idea was solid. Like, if the you know, Switzerland played whatever it was, 3-4-3, 3-5-2, basically. But, like, when you've got Fabian Schär, like, they've got ball playing centre backs who, I think, if it's 3-on-1 with somebody like James Collins and Ireland are going to try and play anyway direct, you're just going to get crowded out. And you probably need to have somebody else up top with them if you know, you don't at the same time they're trying to reinforce the middle as well. Like, I think the idea was good. It's just as like as both of you said, the personnel probably wasn't the manager. And I actually think the like I don't really care. Like Mick has been like really clear about his own, you know, feelings about criticism of this team or maybe their playing style and stuff like this. And like to a certain extent, you can see where he's coming from. But like to my mind, like the issue isn't, you know, say at the very start of this, Scott Hogan was kind of a lightning rod for a lot of criticism of why is he selected and Aaron Connolly isn't in the squad. And like there is a sense of me where it's like it's not Scott Hogan's fault. Like, what more do you want Scott Hogan to do? Scott Hogan has said, came up in a press conference and said he wouldn't have picked himself. You know, so he's, I don't know what more Scott Hogan can do. The issue is that you're picking players to do a job that they're not suited to be doing. So like Gary, if, like there's no point in picking James Collins and expecting James Collins to do anything other than what James Collins does. Like, and to be then criticised James Collins for doing what James Collins does doesn't really make sense. It's the same thing with this James McLean argument. Like, is, we know exactly what James McLean is going to give, what he will do. I don't think he would even be under illusions that he played particularly well last week, certainly. So if that's the issue, why is James McLean the issue? Why isn't it the fact that you've picked James McLean to do a job that he's clearly not doing? Like with the, and that's what it kind of boils down to a lot with this Irish team. Like, I think there's a lot of, I know they're limited in what they can do. I think McGrath's put in a really horrible situation with the circumstance that he's in, but there still should be scope to pick players better suited to do kind of what you expect of them. And that's kind of the main failing. I think it's, there's minor like stuff within selections that I think particularly irk Irish fans right now.
Some of them is very hard to understand. Like, I know we were talking in the podcast yesterday about James McLean and Jeff Hendrick. McLean, actually, to be fair to him, I thought wasn't too, he was fairly improved tonight and kind of kept the ball better, although he still wasn't great.
I think he could have done
that's anchoring once again, I
think. Exactly. Last, yeah.
Yeah, it is. What I don't understand is, like, it's the cult of Jeff Hendrick as well. Like, what's, and I know, like, the personnel and not picking them for their correct position. Like, is Jeff Hendrick's, like, best position just that right midfield in a 4-4-2 where you've got two target men? Is that his best position? Is that the only way he can play football? Because I know he can play football in a midfield three. I know he can. He's done it many times before. But now that he's moved over to that right midfield spot where he's not really expected to do too much other than sort of facilitate what the other two centre mids are doing for Burnley, you let Dwight McNeil over the other wing have a bit of creativity about him and then you pick up the pieces then. Has he decided now, is that's what I'm good for? Everything else I'm not good for. All of the elements of my game that can make up a quite decent centre midfielder, I'm not going to play on. Because, like, there's odd times where he's just brain dead. You know?
And I think he's actually spoken about this in the past. Like, the idea that maybe he hasn't really been informed since 2016, basically, for Ireland. And I think he, at the time, I remember him talking about the fact that he keeps getting moved around. Like, he's playing on the right, he's playing as a defensive mid. Like, this is under Martin O'Neill now. And since then, it's been actually much of the same, really. And again, I think that goes back to my point earlier. If you've got players who are clearly out of form, I don't really think you persist with, like.
But Hendrick's not out of form. He'll go back to Burnley and he'll put in another great performance. The difficulty with him is that he plays in one position for Burnley, and then the position that he has been playing in for this Ireland team, I don't think Hendrick's been moved around an awful lot.
I think
his instructions in the centre midfield have kind of deviated and changed ever so slightly. Because McCarthy's still trying to get the best out of him, yeah. But he, for whatever reason, he just can't.
You say that, though, that he's not out of form, but then there seems to be an outrageous double standard in that you're right, and you're saying that he's playing well for his club, but he's playing terrible for Ireland, so but should he be dropped? But like then you have Callum Robinson, who's playing better for Sheffield United than Jeff Hendrick is for Burnley, and he's no problem whipping him off in every game and not starting him tonight. He didn't even come on, and like we can talk about who came on and that, but like I think there is, Mick, he preaches these things about play, how important playing time is and all this sort of stuff, but then it only seems to, and form, but it only applies to some. But look, we'll talk about the game briefly, lads. Like the first half an hour was horrific. Like with the exception of Darren Randolph making a couple of good saves, like I don't know what you could take away positive from the first 30 minutes or so.
To be honest, looking at it, the Swiss didn't have like a clear cut opportunity until about just before half time with Seferovic, and he blazed over. Like, I know he scores a goal from 20 yards, and you can say that, you know, Duffy should do this better, and Hendricks header out should be a bit like should go further, or it should at least try to take a Kanji out of the game, or Glenn Whelan should get his, like, these are so like split second decisions. I just think it's a good finish, like, yeah. you can do nothing about that, but the performance was bad.
Yeah, it's more so on the ball that the problem
is. we don't do anything on the ball. It just seems like we get the ball and it's nothing happens, and you need players that have to back themselves, and nobody backed themselves. Like, you know, like Collins and Connolly, what can they do? They're chasing after a ball, they're not getting it.
Yeah, there's a massive difference between like a ball long and like, you know, like a ball over the top and a ball aimed right at you. Like the you know, if they are going to play direct, the quality ball is still really important. Like, there's a difference in playing direct and hoofing it.
Well, like, and that's like the intrinsic difference between when, say, a John Egan gets on the ball, who again was assured in defence, and to be honest, he doesn't deserve the team in front of him. You know, same with Duffy and same with Coleman, not Coleman, Randolph, like. But when Egan gets on the ball, if he's looking for it long, he has an idea of where this ball should go and what it's designed to do. Whereas when Duffy does it, it may look the exact same. The technique might be the exact same. And he might be thinking the same way as Egan, but it doesn't come off the same way. They're two different defenders and they complement each other really well. But You know when you're a defensive midfielder, you're a sitting midfielder, and you have a job. Your job is to recycle ball, play it off to a creative player. I just think that Shane Duffy should probably do the same when he has the ball in defence. That, like, either look for that ball into midfield, look for it down the line where there's scope for, like, somebody to run off a defender, or play it back to either a Randolph or Egan.
Do you think that and Mick McCarthy, since he got the job, and especially in recent last few games when there's been a few questions asked, he's kind of made it very clear that he's the man in charge, he makes his own decisions. Do you think there was maybe a bit of a sense that he kind of bowed to the pressure tonight, not only in selecting Aaron Connolly when he wasn't even originally in the squad? I know his hand, he kind of had to do it, but changing the system as well, stuff like that. And then, because it completely... then, like, it became apparent after half an hour that, like, right, this isn't working, we haven't worked on this, threw it all out the window. Like, we ended the first half with James Collins playing on the left midfield,
which, like, I don't know whether I don't think he bowed to the pressure for Connolly. I think it was genuinely a case of Connolly was the best player against Georgia, like, aside from defenders who didn't have to do much. If you're a decent football manager, you recognise that and you change your team accordingly. I don't know about many people asking for systemic change.
Apart from me.
Yeah, but you've been calling for that when, you know, we have, like, if we have a full, like, yeah, we can run the gamut over every Irish player that you can possibly have.
I had accepted at this stage that it wasn't going to happen.
But it happens in such an inopportune time. I hadn't seen any clamour for it. And so I genuinely think that that's a case of him going off his own back.
Yeah, because
backfiring spectacularly.
Mick said before the game, he was like, we decided to try and match Switzerland by playing 3-5-2, which is a really dangerous game to play when you're playing against a team who is more talented than you and who has been playing this system for a long time.
You want to match, you know, so your back three, like our back three, like our defense is our strongest element. Like, but like, you look at their back three, you've got Akanji, Elvedi and Fabian Schär versus John Egan, Shane Duffy, and Enda Stevens, as it was. Like, give or take, like, Akanji and Elvedi are probably better than, you know, some of our players. Fabian Schär is on a level of Shane Duffy, and then, you know, the rest of them are what they are.
But he can hit a ball.
He can hit a ball.
Start up front for Ireland.
Oh, like, stop. The turn on him. But, like, then you go down to every single other position, and the Swiss are better than us.
Yeah. Look, it did improve a bit in the second half when we changed system. Callum O'Dowda come on and made a bit of a difference. Like, what do you think changed at the start of the second half when we did playing a few passes together?
To a certain extent, I do think it's intent. I also think it helps when you've got a player who can come inside and is very comfortable on the ball, like O'Dowda is. And, like, again, this goes back to, like, what I said at the very start about selection. And, like, I remember, Gary, you were talking about this as well, about, like, Richard Coe was like, in, you know, you if you look at it really binary terms, you're looking at it as like, oh, like Richard Coe is a good defender, John Egan is might be a slightly lesser defender. I actually think that's debatable in itself anyway. But like, there's more to it than those kind of terms. Like, there's like, especially in terms of what he does with the ball. And I don't think he can continually set up to be a team that plays without the ball. And like that, like, does I think that goes a long way to explaining what happened in the first half hour, actually, is the fact that they just seem to be a team really, really suited to playing without the ball, which is kind of devastating in a sense, because you're lying on set pieces and you've scored, what is it, 6 goals in 7 games, including games against Georgia and Gibraltar, which is just like, it's just not good enough.
There's also a case of then, if you're setting up to not concede, whatever way that may be, I don't think why would you match up? You don't match up against the Swiss team when you know you're going to be without the ball, and you're trying to match up. But all those players, you're trying to match up. So then, what happens? You end up getting done in. Like, obviously, like, you would think Seamus Coleman's better than like a Stefan Lichtsteiner.
That's why I found it bizarre for Conor Horan not to be in the team tonight, because he's the one midfielder that actually in this campaign who has got his foot in the ball and passed it.
Yeah.
And like, I know he was poor against Georgia, but how many poor performances have Jeff Hendrick and James McLean put in this campaign and not been punished for it? Like, and especially when you consider that our main goal threat, what do we say every time?
Set pieces.
And Conor Horan's set piece delivery is much better. Like, do you ever remember Glenn Whelan taking corners or delivering set pieces for Ireland?
No, he's always the spare man.
Exactly.
I think there's a way to look at, like, using the ball in the midfield. Like, Whelan will get on the ball, but it's not for a case of to pick a pass to then bring us into the next phase of play. It's to give it to somebody else to give it to the next phase of play. That's what he's done well. That's what he does well.
And there is something admirable about Whelan in that, like, I don't want to get into the, you know, the constant James McLean praises that he puts in a shift. And I think ultimately, like, that isn't good enough. Like, you have to have a higher threshold for a footballer, like an international level footballer. I think you really need to have a bigger expectation of players. But like, Glenn Whelan does, in a similar vein, like, he never shies away. Like, when other players are, like, he'll always kind of front up. And like, I do think there's something kind of admirable in that. I actually thought he was pretty good tonight.
I also think the point, like, to sort of go over what I was saying about, like, matching up, we matched up and then we didn't press as high as we did. When we pressed them high at the Aviva, then you're leaving Glenn Whelan as your spare man in the centre mid. And that's why he looked that bad again. Well, I don't think, again, in the home match against Switzerland, I didn't think he was that bad.
The first hour he was bad in that
but
game.
I don't think he was particularly bad. What it was that he kept on getting bypassed so easily because we all decided to press up, but you have to leave somebody behind and, like, just to mop up in case they, like, go past that press and then they move into the next phase of play. The problem with Whelan is that he has all the tactical nous in the world, but them 35-year-old legs aren't carrying you towards like a Zakaria or even a Granit Xhaka. Like, they're not going to cut it.
We'll keep it moving, lads, because we're not going to stay here too long. It's getting late now, but what Aaron Connolly tonight, like, just it kind of in the first 20 minutes or so there was some encouraging signs, but he was getting isolated. It was kind of in the end it turned out to be everything that we feared that it would be of him playing up front, in that he was left isolated and Switzerland had 3 centre halves to deal with him.
And he had swapped position.
Morris, what did you think of his performance?
Not much really, but at the same time I think, like, all the Sanders stuff about Endeavour and putting himself out, I think the circumstances definitely didn't lend itself towards him. And I actually think, like, there's a bang of that about, like, you can clamour for different inclusions or, you know, Matt Doherty to come in. Like, I don't know how good Matt Doherty was last week either, or this kind of stuff. I do think, like, the overall structure is the biggest problem, and, like, so we keep talking about,
like, I think in that match the best way to utilise Connolly, and I get kind of trying to play a ball in behind to him up top with Collins, and then, you know, hopefully one feeds off the other, but if they're playing 3 at the back, okay, whatever can be said about that. I think the best option that he had there would be, if they're playing that 3-5-2 or whatever, 3-4-3, play a 4-4-2, have Robinson up there with Collins, have Connolly up on the left. And I know you're not going to drop McLean. This is all sort of utopian utopian landscape where McLean is not automatically in the team. Then Connolly's going up against Lichtsteiner. And you can tell when he came over to Lichtsteiner's side the odd time that, like, literally 35 years of age, he'll show now, he'll kick him when he needs to be kicked, But Connolly knows how to win a free kick or at least recycle the play and move it on to somebody else. And then if we're on the break and Connolly's coming down the left, Lindstrom is not catching him.
But to do that, I think you need to orchestrate circumstances where he's one on one.
But that's that's what I mean. So you've got if you play in that kind of way, then you could potentially showcase the best of Connolly. Now, that's not to be said. He's not a winger as well. Like, he doesn't play on the wing.
He's an inside forward kind of player. This modern hybrid. Like, he's
Like a young Bobby Charlton.
But it could have worked. Like, him playing off Collins could have worked if, like, it's just reliant on quality of ball. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe I was kind of harsh on Collins earlier as well. I don't think you can be too critical of Collins or Connolly in that sort of circumstance because it's just so hard when, like, you're. I wouldn't even call it you're feeding off scraps. Like,
I can only remember one ball, and it was played by Jeff Hendrick, where it went over the top, but it didn't run out of play. It was perfectly weighted so that Connolly could leg it onto it, and he showed why he just inexperienced. He just immediately fired the ball across. Collins was nowhere near him, and there was nobody around him.
He had the one as well in the first half where the ball was just played out in front of him and it kind of bobbled on the turf. He just took a step too far beyond it, rolled in past him. Like, you would have loved to see him kind of open up there and see what could happen. But that's as much to do with the surface as it was the ball.
I think that ball, though, that you're talking about is kind of the difference between playing in this Ireland team and playing in even like a reasonably poor Premier League team like Brighton.
But I don't think so. I think
somebody would have been there if he was playing for Brighton.
No, Neil Mopé is a better player than James Collins, but I don't think there's any guarantee. The thing was that ball went from nearly the edge of our box to their box, and you can't. And that's going from defensive phase of play to the attacking phase of play really, really quickly. Now, unless you have somebody playing in behind Collins and Connolly, you're not going to have somebody in charging in because Collins is turning around. Now, not to be said, if he obviously runs, if he tries to match it, and he, you know, has a relationship with Connolly where he knows that ball's getting fired across and go in. That's all club teammate things. Or if you're like a world-class striker, you'd know to do that. But, that's why I don't think that is a particular showcase of why there's a difference between playing in a poor international team and a poor Premier League side. But it's just, it was frustrating for him as well, I'm sure. Like, he came off everybody clamoring for his inclusion to kind of not being able to do much.
Yeah.
But again, I can't really blame him for that. I can't blame Collins for it either. Same with his performance against Georgia. It's one of those whereby, well, what is he supposed to do?
We need to talk about Seamus Coleman because I'm definitely not going to be bashing Seamus Coleman because he's been brilliant for him, but he just seemed off tonight, but not even in the sense that he wasn't playing well. It seemed like he was arguing with people. I think
he's a bit mouthy.
He seemed to pick a fight with Embolo at the start of the game.
He did it with Akanji as well some point. Well, I think it was when Akanji felled Callum O'Dowda.
Yeah, you're right, in the second half. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like him at all. I know he can be fiery at times, but he's still always very measured in the way he plays. I think it's the worst game I can remember him playing for Ireland, definitely in the last 3 or 4 years.
I can't remember him being as poor as that. And like, whatever you say about his but his first yellow was avoidable as well.
100%.
He got into it with Xhaka, and then Xhaka, if you want to say, pulled him down to his level. And by that I mean getting a yellow card that you don't need to get.
The king of yellow cards.
The king of yellows. But I was very, very perplexed. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand why Coleman would be getting into these situations. It's not like when you're captain, you can talk to the referee with a level of authority, but you can't talk to the opposition with a level of disrespect just because you're the captain.
I found it weird that we didn't throw on Callum Robinson at some stage as well. I know you can debate the Scott Hogan coming.
Two subs, yeah.
You can debate Scott Hogan coming on, maybe whatever, that's mixed choice. But even for the last 10 minutes there, we're losing. Why not take off one of the midfielders, Glenn Whelan, even though he played well
I think you have to take off. You should have taken off Whelan about 10 minutes earlier.
Not because he played badly.
No,
it's
purely down to he was bollocks.
He's 35 wrecked. Years old, played two games.
Yeah, and he was
days.
Wrecked. And he did. It was one of his better performances in an Ireland shirt in modern times because he ran himself into the ground and he can't run very particularly quickly, but he put in a shift.
Yeah, 100%.
But that he needs to be taken off. He's 35 years of age. He's ran on an extremely heavy pitch. for 80 odd minutes. He's not able for it on a regular pitch, the most pristine pitch of all time. He wouldn't be able for it if he's running that much. So I don't know why you just go, ah, here, come on, it's one nil to them. We try on an extra striker, we see what we can get off it. We concede, it's the same as conceding one, we concede two.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think, again, it all comes back to this thing about Mick holding other players, to different players to different standards. But look, Morris, at the end of it, we're not qualified tonight. We have another chance. Would you be would you take away any encouragement from the performance tonight?
For the second half, I think you probably could, yeah. And like ultimately... if you'd offered this Ireland team this chance with like one game at home,
You took the soup from Mick McCarthy, did you?
Towards the end, I think there is something in that, but I also think that, you know, beyond the surface level, there is much more that you can point to and criticism that can be made that I think will happen like over the next couple of months. I think ultimately, I think McCarthy's put in a really difficult position. He's probably got them as close as it was reasonable in those circumstances. That I don't know how optimistic I am, to be honest, Gary, but ultimately, I think, you know, I think right now I've settled for it could be a lot worse.
Perspective is everything.
I think Ireland are lucky. I don't know, I think, was it Richie Sadlier or Liam Brady said it on RT tonight? When you think back and go on a game-by-game basis, judge each performance in a vacuum, like, we're incredibly lucky to still be within of winning. We win the next game, we're in the Euros.
And Brady also alluded to it. It was like, our position is false. Our position is false. We didn't play well against Switzerland. We didn't play well against Denmark. We didn't play well against Georgia away. We didn't play well against Gibraltar home or away. The only performance you would look at is Georgia at home. And to be honest, that's not a 90-minute performance. That was an odd half an hour of good play and then 15 minutes of decent stuff, and then Georgia pile on the pressure at the very end.
Yeah.
And we were nearly blessed that we came out with a 1-0.
Like, you have to remember that I know we have Switzerland and Denmark, who are two good teams, but in terms of the draw we could have got, we avoided all of the big teams. We didn't get a Spain, a Germany, an England. We don't actually have a sixth seed in this group either. There's only five teams in it. Gibraltar were a fifth seed somehow, so we got by far the worst fifth seed. Judging purely by rankings, I think Georgia were
the second or third worst
fourth seed.
Look, as I was saying to you though, the Georgia thing is all perspective as well.
Exactly, because we've seen Gibraltar score two goals against Georgia tonight. Yeah. Gibraltar scored more goals against Georgia in this group than we did.
Like, that's that. If we, like, as I said to you, if we were coming up against another fourth seed and it was Luxembourg, everybody go, handy 6 points exactly against Luxembourg. It's only Georgia, and you have to go out to Tbilisi to play them, and everybody's like, they're a good outfit. Like, Luxembourg are a good outfit. Didn't they beat France? Like,
sum it up for us. Are we going to qualify? Well, are we going to, we won't talk about the playoffs yet, we cross that bridge next month if we do have to come to it. Are we going to beat Denmark?
No, we won't. Do you remember the last time we had to play them at home in a must win game?
Yeah. Morris, what do you think?
I don't think they will either, no.
I think I'm a bit more enthusiastic than you, but that's
absolute Gil Gunderson, how are you?
It's more the fact that I think Ireland can play despite themselves in anything more than they've actually shown in this group so far. Like, David McGoldrick will be back for that game, you'd hope. He'll be a big boost.
Played it 3-5-2 with McGoldrick and Robinson up top.
Or Connolly.
No, Connolly playing behind them. Let's go all out. Let's do them. Let's do them, boys.
5-1 to Denmark.
We've done it before and we tried to be pragmatic, so fuck it, we might as well go in.
Considering the circumstances, I think having Matt Doherty in the team again instead of Coleman could be a bit of, not a blessing because Coleman's a good player, but it could be a help in that situation because going forward he offers more.
But if we switch up the system and we're playing Doherty, is Doherty a better right full, not right back or right wing back, a right full than Coleman? I'm getting into semantics here.
Look, lads, we're not that enthusiastic. Morris and Sean don't think we're going to qualify. I think we probably won't. I think we have a chance. I think the lads think we have a chance.
We have a chance,
I think they will eventually qualify because there's so many chances. But
I think
as soon as we lose the playoff, they go, you're in the second division. Come on, get in there.
I seen somebody tweeting last night, and I'm not sure how this works,
I think it might be Nathan Murphy from Off the Ball was tweeting that at the moment we'd be either playing Wales or Slovakia in a semi-final of a playoff in one-off game, followed by most likely Northern Ireland in a final. That's the way it's looking at the minute.
There's tasty fixtures. There's tasty fixtures, and then there's that.
I think we have a better chance of beating Denmark next month than winning those two games.
Yeah.
So, look, beat Denmark. We won't have to worry about it. We go to Euros.
We're going to Bilbao.
Look, lads, we'll leave it there. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again next week with another Buzz.ie football show. Keep an eye out for that. Subscribe to all our podcasts and feed wherever you listen to yours. It wasn't great, but we're still in it. Best of luck.